Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, September 26, 2024. We'll start with a story titled, "An Election Commission Set to Open for Early Voters Despite Construction. Harrison Street Construction Should Be Complete by Next Week, According to City Officials." And this is written by Kegler White. Residents hoping to register or vote early at the Joseph G. Cannon building may have some difficulty as construction continues on Harrison Street between Vermilion and Hazel Streets. Work should be complete within the next week or so, said Justin Houston, an engineer with the City of Danville. The construction on Harrison is part of a larger project to revitalize the downtown area using a $3 million grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Though contractors originally planned to finish this part of the project earlier in the year to avoid accessibility issues around early voting times, a delay in receiving storm sewer materials caused contractors to alter their original construction schedule in downtown Danville, Houston said. "We have notified the contractor that early voting is coming and they need to get this complete, and so they are aware of that," Houston said. "They have been working on Saturdays to try to expedite construction. Starting on Thursday, September 26, registered voters will be able to cast their ballots for the 2024 general election. Vermilion County residents can vote in the vote center on the first floor of the Joseph G. Cannon building located at 201 East Vermilion Street, while residents of the City of Danville will cast their ballot of the Danville Election Commission office on the lower level. While construction continues, residents are encouraged to use the alley between Harrison and Madison Streets. There are several handicapped parking spaces along the building, and those seeking to register or vote early can still access the entrance via an alley between Harrison and Madison. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find where to go. Early voting is a process that allows any registered voter living in Vermilion County or within Danville City limits to cast their ballot prior to election day. No reason is necessary for voting early, according to the Vermilion County Election Commission. To register to vote or to learn about early voting, visit the Vermilion County Election Commission website. And there's a couple of pictures. There's residents are encouraged to utilize the alley between Harrison and Madison Streets to access parking spaces around the south and east sides of the Vermilion Administrative Building where the Election Commission is located. And then there's a picture of construction on Harrison Street between Vermilion and Hazel Streets will continue until next week, says Justin Houston, an engineer with the City of Danville. The building remains open. Next story is cannabis dispensary popping up along Indiana-Illinois border. And this is written by a David Kronk from the CNHI News. Illinois cannabis dispensaries continue to draw in Indiana clients as the Hoosier state has yet to legalize its use. The state of Illinois collected $417.6 million in sales taxes from Illinois adult-use cannabis dispensaries in 2023, per the Illinois Department of Revenue. That's a big payout, and more dispensaries are locating close to the borders of states where recreational use of marijuana is still illegal, like in Indiana. Hoosiers aren't detoured, according to the spokesman for the four Illinois dispensaries closest to Terre Haute, Indiana. Sunnyside's dispensary in Danville opened May 27, 2020. Until recently, it was the closest dispensary to Terre Haute at about an hour's drive away. According to Jason Erks, Chief Communications Officer for Sunnyside, a fair amount of business comes from east of the Illinois border. "I can't put a hard number on it because we don't collect data," he said, "but there is a doubt. There is no doubt that we see a lot of Indiana driver's license when people check in and a lot of Indiana license plates in the parking lot from people looking for a trusted cannabis source." Another dispensary opened in Danville on April 20th with offerings that branch out from Simply Cannabis products called 7 Point, Cannabis Dispensary and Vinyl Shop. It was the first cannabis and vinyl store in the country, according to the employees. 7 Point subsequently opened another such shop in Berkeley, California, the Oakland Press reported. Its website openly invites Hoosier patronage, reading, "Our artistic and warm ambience inspire visitors, whether local residents or those traveling from Indiana." While 7 Point would be illegal in Indiana, in Illinois it was one of the 23 dispensaries receiving a $240,000 grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, according to the state's website in August. And these Danville locations have recently seen some competition for patronage. Thrive Wellness opened a dispensary in Casey, Illinois, in February, about a 40-minute drive from Terre Haute. Tim Rasmussen, Vice President of Retail Operations for Thrive, said, "Certainly the stable core of our base lives in Illinois, but we have customers who do cross state lines. Terre Haute has the number one zip code in Indiana that visits our Casey store." Rasmussen said he doesn't understand why Indiana hasn't legalized cannabis. "Lots of things mystify me from the retail experience," he said. "It's an industry that continues to grow. I don't know why it's not legal in all states." A dispensary's proximity to state lines dictates how many out-of-state visitors it might receive, Rasmussen said. For example, the store in Metropolis, Illinois, gets customers visiting from Kentucky and Tennessee. In addition, in providing a variety of cannabis products, Thrive Wellness also practices philanthropy. The KC store recently promoted a day called Dog Days, during which it collected contributions for the local animal shelter. It will observe Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October with dispensaries by partnering with a Keep a Breast Foundation, offering a special packaging for Betty's Eddies cannabis gummies and giveaways promoting the KAB app, as well as with a financial donation. The cannabis sector wants to give back to the community, and people like to donate to worthy causes, Rasmussen said. The high-profile dispensary in Martinsville, Illinois, a 30-minute drive from Terre Haute, had a soft opening on August 23rd with an official grand opening set for this coming weekend. Dispensaries are generally owned by a cannabis manufacturer that provides them, and sometimes other dispensaries not within the chain with the product. Thrive Wellness is a subsidiary of ManMed, which operates shops in Massachusetts, Maryland, Delaware, Ohio, and Missouri, in addition to Illinois. C3 Industries has 26 high-profile cannabis shops in Illinois, Michigan, Missouri, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New Jersey. Vishal Rungta, president and co-founder of C3 Industries, said he expects the Martinsville location to enjoy a healthy number of Indiana patrons. "Our expectation is that those communities are also excited about the accessibility," he said. "In general, you find the shops in areas where there are large populations and not many available stores perform well. The border dynamic limits the number of stores and their concentration. Martinsville has a healthy population in various nearby communities that are underserved, so that will be a good location," Rungta said. "We have locations that sit on borders of states with less accessibility, and they have a lot of business. Missouri is surrounded by 8 states, 7 that have no stores, so there's a lot of inbound interest. We benefit from folks for when it is less accessible." Unlike Rasmussen, Rungta said he is not surprised that Indiana has declined to grant Hoosiers legal access to cannabis. "Not surprised, but am I an advocate for states legalizing it? Absolutely," he said. "States are all across the spectrum in terms of what they're comfortable with and what values they have." The Indiana State Representative Tanya Plaff, Democrat, District 43, is also an advocate for legalizing cannabis in the state. "While neighboring states embrace cannabis and the revenue it brings, Indiana Republicans remain opposed to legalization, she said. Our state is losing out on $171 million in potential revenue as Hoosiers purchase cannabis across state lines. Polls show that the majority of Hoosiers support legalization, but the Republican legislature continues to block any serious discussion, she continued. The best way to move forward is through citizen-led ballot initiatives, giving voters a direct role in shaping Indiana's policy. Until then, legalization will remain stalled. Indiana State Senator Greg Good, Republican District 38, is interested in the well-being of Hoosiers who could be treated with medical marijuana. I am open to the medicinal use based on feedback from medical providers and researchers, he said. The research-based opinion of medical experts of the highest priority to me, particularly how cannabis might be used in pain management, he said. I will not make a decision on cannabis based on state revenue possibilities, but instead on the health and wellness of Hoosiers. David Cronk can be reached at 812-231-4232 or at David Cronk at tribstar.com. And there's a picture of Sunnyside's cannabis dispensary in Danville. Next story is titled, Vermilion Advantage Members Visit D.C. to Lobby for Local Funding. Group advocated for property redevelopment workforce training. And this, again, is written by Kegla White. A delegation of Vermilion Advantage members traveled to Washington, D.C. this past weekend to lobby lawmakers on behalf of Vermilion County residents. The goal of the trip, according to Vermilion Advantage CEO Mike Moran, was to establish relationships with local representatives and advocate for funding to improve and redevelop local sites in hopes of attracting larger businesses to the area. I think it's important for us to have a presence on the national level, Moran said. The decision makers need to know that Danville is here, that Vermilion County is here. If we're going to bring resources to our area, we need to have a presence there. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. traveled with the group, which included Moran, Danville Area Community College Foundation Director Tanya Hill, Vermilion Advantage staff member Jody Ingram, and local fourth-generation business owner Ross Darby. Conversations with lawmakers centered on local redevelopment needs, including a flood redemption plan the city is working to complete on East Voorhees Street near the old Quaker Oats factory and former Heat Craft site, a project which Senator Duckworth has already allocated $1 million toward, according to Williams. Both sites experience substantial flooding anytime there's a significant amount of rainfall in the area, Williams said. Right now, there's around a 50-year flood plan, and we need to get it to a 100-year flood plan, meaning there would only be major flooding once in 100 years or so, and it would have to be something catastrophic, Williams said. Unfortunately, because Colin Creek is nearby, anytime there's any kind of major rain, the sites flood. Combined, the two sites make up about 100 acres of land available for prospective buyers. The site is ideal, Williams said, because there is enough land to support a new business and utilities are already in place. There's even a railroad spur on the Quaker Oats site, enabling prospective businesses to have direct access to the rail line, a rare occurrence in the county, Williams said. Among other topics discussed with lawmakers, DACC Foundation Director Tanya Hill said the group shared other plans to start a Vermilion Advantage student engagement program that would appeal to students as young as 13 to get them interested in the workforce opportunities available to them at DACC, as well as through dual credit high school classes. We need to build Danville back up and show people that there is a great place to live, Hill said. A previous press release from the Vermilion Advantage dated September 18th, had also listed among its goals for the trip to attain funding for a streamlined regulatory process for immigrants so we are more readily able to attract immigrants into our community. That statement was retracted by Vermilion Advantage in a second press release on Monday, claiming that the language used was inadvertently included by Moran, and it reflected his own personal views rather than those of Vermilion Advantage. The retraction called the trip highly successful and assured the public that at no time was the topic immigration discussed. And there's a picture of Vermilion Advantage members posed in front of artist John Trumbull's massive painting, Declaration of Independence, from 1818, which hangs in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. From left, Joni Ingram, Mike Moran, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., Ross Darby, and Tanya Hill. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Leo G. Downing, Jr., 95, of Oakwood, Illinois, passed away at 3:04 p.m. on September 22nd at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, September 26th at Sunset Oakwood Chapel at 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood, Illinois. John Payne will officiate. Graveside committal rites will be held at 1 p.m. on Thursday, September 26th at Gundy Cemetery, with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Leo's memory in a charity of the donor's choice. Elaine R. Fleiser, 82, of Hoopston, Illinois, passed away at 6:35 a.m. Tuesday, September 24th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. A visitation will be held at 10 to 12 p.m. Friday, September 27th at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. A graveside service will follow in the visitation in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville, Illinois, with Rabbi David Techtel officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Elaine's name to the Hoopston Public Library at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. And Lita O'Connor McCormick, Orlando, passed away on September 18th in Issaquah, Washington. She's originally from Kankakee, Illinois. A massive Christian burial will take place at 11 a.m. on Friday, September 22nd at St. Paul's Catholic Church at 1303 North Walnut Street in Danville, Illinois, with Father John Sear officiating. Entombment will follow at Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville. Memorials in Lita's name may be made into Schlarman Academy. Next story is titled Indiana State Police Investigating Shooting in Which an Illinois Man Was Killed. And this is from Vermilion County, Indiana. Indiana State Police are investigating the death of a Robinson, Illinois man after responding to reports of shots being fired at a Vermilion County business. Troopers of the Putnamville, Indiana State Police Post, along with Vermilion County law enforcement agencies, responded to a report of shots being fired at approximately 8:45 p.m. on Monday, September 23rd, in the area of State Road 163 and State Road 63. Law enforcement arrived immediately after receiving the report that shots had been fired. Upon officer's arrival, a 19-year-old Clinton, Indiana man stated that he was the individual who had fired the shots and who had called 911. Officers then observed Devin S. Shelby, age 41, of Robinson, Illinois, with gunshot wounds and immediately began administering first aid. However, due to the severity of the wounds, Shelby succumbed to his injuries, according to police. Vermilion County Sheriff Mike Holtkamp requested the Indiana State Police Putnamville Post to conduct an investigation. Putnamville detectives have conducted a full investigation, and the information has been provided to Vermilion County Prosecutor Bob Ackerman for a full review. Once reviewed, the prosecutor will decide if charges will be filed or declined in reference to this incident. The investigation is being conducted by Indiana State Police Detectives Don Curtis, Jason Scostall, and the assistance of Sergeant Mike Feathering, CSI Sergeant Michael Organ, and CSI Sergeant Carrie Woodard. Next story is titled, Danville Manufacturer Wins EPA Award, Envirox Named Safer Choice Partner of the Year. A Danville manufacturer has been named the Safer Choice Partner of the Year by Environmental Protection Agency, known as the EPA. Envirox, a manufacturer of green cleaning technologies, received the award from the EPA for the company's outstanding achievement in designing and manufacturing products with ingredients that are safer for families, pets, workers, communities, and the environment, according to a press release. To qualify for the Safer Choice label, a product must meet EPA's Safer Choice standard, which includes stringent human and environmental health criteria. The Safer Choice program currently partners with about 350 formulator manufacturer partners who make nearly 2,000 Safer Choice certified products for both consumers and commercial buyers. We aren't competing with other companies. We're competing with toxicity. Toxicity that, sadly, is still rampant in this industry, especially in the disinfectant space. Working with Safer Choice is a part of our strategy for winning against toxicity, and we're so proud and honored to have the EPA and the Safer Choice program recognize our efforts, says Envirox President Diana Stewart. Envirox has been renovating for nearly 25 years in green cleaning space. They utilize third-party certifications to reassure customers that they're committed to the environment and the safety of the people who work, play, and live in buildings across the United States is backed by a stringent standards. The newest innovation from Envirox, Oxygenesis RTU, carries the design for the environment certification as part of the EPA's Safer Choice program. It's the first disinfectant developed in-house by Envirox at their headquarters in Danville. It was created to meet the Safer Choice standard by focusing on simpler, environmentally preferred ingredients. The result is a powerful disinfectant that kills a broad spectrum of pathogens. Next story is titled, Covington Business Receives Award from Duke Energy. And this is Covington, Indiana. FlexenGate has been named a recipient of Duke Energy's Business Energy Excellence Award. The award presented on September 10th recognizes FlexenGate's commitment to energy efficiency. Since 2021, Duke Energy has partnered with different companies across the Midwest to support their sustainability efforts. FlexenGate is a leading automotive supplier throughout North America and Europe. FlexenGate Covington is a division of FlexenGate Corporation and is located 5 miles west of Covington, Indiana. Covington operations are welding assembly and service packaging of automotive parts. Its customer base is Stellantis, Ford, GM, Toyota, and Nissan. The company has worked diligently the last several months toward making their 300,000 square foot manufacturing facility more economically friendly by upgrading the lighting systems and increasing efficiency. Covington updated 391 light fixtures throughout this facility from fluorescent to LED motion-activated lighting, according to the news release. Covington has implemented shutdown procedures to reduce power consumption during non-business hours, such as air compressor and other non-essential equipment. Startup procedures were also adjusted to reduce peak power consumption by a systematic approach for powering up equipment. Upon completion of these projects, Duke Energy determined the improvements made by FlexenGate Covington reduced SWH by 128,970 annually. This reduction is equal to the amount of daily energy use at the same equivalence of powering 14 residential homes over a period of 1 year. Flexengate Covington will continue its partnership with Duke Energy on future utility usage reductions. The facility plans to continue their sustainability efforts by doing their part in reducing the carbon footprint in the community and keeping the economic responsibility a top priority. Covington's Flexengate has been named a recipient of Duke's Energy Excellence Award. Pictured with the award are from left. Excellence Award or left are Michelle Myers, EHS Manager, Vincent Littoral, Duke Business Energy Advisor, Stephen Hughes, Service Operations Manager, Thomas Crane, General Manager, Brian Payton, Maintenance Manager, Casey Sheehan, Human Resources Manager, Cheryl Arnold, Duke Accounts Manager, and Terry Moore Duke, Trade Ally Representative. Next one is titled Early Voting Schedule, and it shows all the early voting places and when they open up. Thursday, Friday, September 26th, September 27th, City of Danville Voters Lower Level, Danville Election Commission's Office, County Voters Vote Center, First Floor, from 8 to 4:30. Monday through Friday, September 30th through October 4th, City of Danville Voters Lower Level Election Commission Office Voters Vote First Floor from 8 to 4:30. October 7th through the 11th, 8 to 4:30, same place. Saturday, October 12th, City of Danville Voters, same place. They'll be closed Monday, October 14th for Columbus Day. So then open Tuesday through Friday, October 15th through the 18th. And then Saturday the 19th, they can vote from 9 to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday, October 21st to the 25th. They're open 8 to 4:30, and Saturday the 26th, they're open from 9 to 12. Then Monday through Friday the 28th through November 1st, they're open from 8 to 4:30. Saturday, November 2nd, they're open from 9 to 12, and then Monday, November 4th, they're open from 8 to 4:30. Run through a couple community briefs. DACC Board of Trustees to meet. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees will meet today, September 26th at 5:30 p.m. in Vermilion Hall, Room 302 at the college at 2000 Main Street. And Jordan Event canceled due to weather at the DACC. The Family Day of Science and Fun planned at the mouth of Jordan Nature Reserve in Oakwood has been canceled due to weather. Conditions in the park are too muddy for the event to take place. And Barney family to have a reunion. The Barney family will have their first family reunion on Saturday, October 5th at 1 p.m. at Forest Glen's Edgewood Center, the house with a porch when you first enter the park. Those attending should bring a covered dish, games, lawn chairs, and old-style photos. Meat and soft drinks will be provided. Guests should RSVP by Wednesday, October 2nd by calling 217-213-2919. And compost on sale. The City of Danville Public Works has yard waste facility has compost on sale for $10 per cubic foot. If you're interested in purchasing, call the Public Works facility at 217-431-2288 or stop by the office at 1155 East 4th Street. Delivery of compost is available within 5 miles of the city limits for a $30 per load fee. A full load of compost for delivery is up to 6 cubic yards. And book sale plan for Westfield Library at Friday, October 11th from 10 to 5:30. The sale will include books, audiobooks, and DVDs. The library is located at 233 South State Street in Westville. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, September 26th. Looks like it's going to be kind of a rainy weekend. Not too bad today, I guess, but decent weather in the 70s. So hopefully have a good week. And hopefully Illinois wins again this week in Purdue. So, ILL, INI. Have a good week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.